Do you sometimes feel that your salah is not quite having the effect it is supposed to on you and your life? Have you ever considered that perhaps it is because we are not giving it its due importance? It seems that we have lost or were never taught that ability to connect in salah that makes all the difference in its effects on us. Consider the following examples from the people of the past. Once, the Muslims headed out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on way to battle. During the trip, the Prophet ordered two companions, one of them from the Ansar and one of them from the Muhajirin, to stand guard over them. As they did, the Muhajir decided to rest while the Ansari chose to stand in Salah. Along came a disbeliever and he cast an arrow, striking the Ansari in the chest. The Ansari pulled out the arrow, but he continued in Salah. The disbeliever struck him with a second arrow. Again, the Ansari removed it and continued his salah. A third arrow was cast, but now the Ansari could no longer stand and finally fell bleeding into his ruku and sujood. The aggressor fled as the Muhajir rushed to his brother's aid. Subhanallah, why didn't you alert me from the first arrow? The Ansari replied, I was in the middle of a beautiful surah and I did not wish to interrupt my tilawa of it. This was the khushu in the sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was his condition in salah. Once Imam Bukhari was in salah and he felt some discomfort after he had finished his salah, and he asked somebody to go and have a look at something which was bothering him in his body, in his rear, and they found that while he was in salah, Imam Bukhari had been stung 17 times by a wasp and he had not noticed this. Ibn Zubair is famous for standing firm in his salah while there were catapults being fired upon him. This was the conditions of the Sahaba when they would pray salah. It is even reported that one Sahabi who needed an amputation requested that it be performed while he was engaged in salah. How did they attain that level of pleasure and inner peace that salah was meant to inspire? Is it possible for us to reach that level too? How can we make our salah effective? This is what we hope to learn. Firstly, outlook is key. Before we can make any change in ourselves, we need to re-examine our outlook in salah. Ask yourself the following question: why do I pray? Is it just because I have to? Is it because this is, it's just an obligation? Or is it because I'm praying my salah because everybody around me is also praying their salah? In reality, it's time to change. We need to start praying our salah out of sincere love. Pray out of longing to be with the one whom you love. Pray for the peace and comfort that comes out of being with the one whom you love. There are three reasons which make you love someone. Either because that someone is beautiful, or because you find that somebody deals kindly with you, or because that somebody has done many favors for you. Now, think of Allah. He is all of these and more. Doesn't He then deserve to be the most worthy of our love over everything and anyone else? To truly love Allah is to truly taste the greatest love in existence. It is to truly taste the beauty of Iman. As for Allah's beauty, then look around us and look at the beautiful creation, be it inner or outer beauty. All of this is just a small hint to the ultimate beauty that he beholds. If every person was created with the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, and this beauty was combined with the beauty of everything we see around us, then all of this, in comparison to the beauty of Allah, would be like that of a weak candlelight to the brightness of the sun. And Allah's beauty is unique. So just think, He sets His beautiful face to yours when you stand in salah. Allah's beauty is so immense that we cannot see Him in this world. For if He were to manifest to us His glory, it would burn everything in existence. We read in the Quran, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, when he asked to see Allah says, "You cannot see me, but look upon the mountain. If it remains firm in place, then you will be able to see me." To this, Allah Azza wa Jal manifested Himself to the mountain, and the mountain crumbled. and Musa collapsed and fainted, and he was looking not at Allah Azza wa Jal, he was looking at the mountain. This was what happened when Musa saw the mountain, which saw Allah Azza wa Jal's beauty. So imagine if it was direct sight. As for Allah Azza wa Jal's favors upon us, just close your eyes momentarily just to appreciate the gift of sight alone. If we were to count His favors upon us, then never will we be able to enumerate them. Sometimes we're saddened when what we ask for is not granted to us. But in hindsight, when we always look back, we realize later that that favor that was denied to us was for our good. For Allah has nothing but good. And imagine, when we dare and sin against Him, we sin using the very gifts and blessings that He has given us. But out of His love and mercy for us, He continues to guard over us, to protect us, even while we're in the act of sin. You will never find anyone more kind. You will never find anyone more giving. And you will never find anyone more worthy of your love than He. Remember this. The sweetness of this life lies in remembering Him. The sweetness of the next life lies in seeing Him. The next time you proceed for Salah, go because you love Him. Go because you miss Him and long to be with Him. Feel your heart flutter. Only then will you be on your way to attaining that inner peace and comfort that Salah was prescribed for. Upon Allahu Akbar. So what really happens at Allahu Akbar? Before we go into this, have you ever wondered why we start our Salah with Allahu Akbar? Why don't we say Subhanallah or Alhamdulillah? Allahu Akbar is the key phrase because with it, we affirm that Allah, before whom we are about to stand, is greater than anything occupying us at that moment. He is greater than our job, greater than our business, greater than our sleep, our bills, our families, our children, greater than all that troubles that preoccupy us. And why do we raise our hands with it? We raise our hands to throw all of that behind us. We raise our hands as a gesture of complete surrender. When one stands to pray, Allah Azza wa Jal commands, raise the veils between me and my servant. From the instant that you proclaim Allahu Akbar, Allah now sets His beautiful face to yours, ready and engaged with you. And He doesn't turn away from you unless you do. That's when either you turn away with your head or you drift in your heart. And if you drift, He calls to you, to what is better than I, and orders for the veils to be drawn back. When you announce Allahu Akbar, imagine that you are before the cameras and the red light with the writing on the air button has now been switched on. But it is not ordinary people who are watching you. It is the King Himself. In His hands is everything you are and everything you will ever be. In His hands is the entire universe, running in perfect order. Nothing, however big or small, escapes His control. So ask yourself, how should you stand before the King? In reality, you should feel your heart race. Upon Allahu Akbar, as we proceed to recite, any bad deeds committed by us begin to float up. They float up until they reach our head and shoulders. Following that, with every ruku, with every sujood, we move, these sins fall off and they're scattered and they're dispersed. All the reason for us to be in these positions longer before Allah Azza wa Jal. With Allahu Akbar, things we were permitted to do just before suddenly became forbidden, suddenly became haram. Now if we reflect with Allahu Akbar, now things which were halal to do become haram. For example, we are permitted to eat, we are permitted to drink, we are permitted to talk. But with this takbir, it is now haram for us to eat. It is now haram for us to drink. It is now haram for us to talk. So what's happened? What is different? What is different is the nature of this meeting. For the abd, the slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he is praying, he has answered the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whenever he will move in the major positions of salah, he will always say Allahu Akbar, reminding him to refocus. Salute the King and expel the intruder. Now you have officially entered the salah when you said Allahu Akbar. You lower your gaze to the place of sujood and now you place your right hand over your left. Why? So just imagine you've walked into a palace and you see a group of people standing in the distance. Some of them are looking straight at you with their arms at their sides, and the other group stands with their gaze to the ground and their hands clasped in front of them. Just from the way they stand, you will be able to distinguish the royalty from the servants of the palace. Similarly, for the slave to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, it behooves him to stand in a position of humility before Allah. Let us remember that humility due to Allah Azza wa Jal is a humility because in essence it liberates us from the undue humility to fellow man. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the one who humbles himself before Allah Azza wa Jal is elevated by Allah in honor. It is only now proper to salute the king.
Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk.
Glory be to you, O Allah, and praise be to you. Blessed is your name and lofty is your position, and none has the right to be worshipped except you. There are different du'as which we can say at this moment that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Each one adds a unique aspect to our salah. Varying these du'as and the salute with each salah, it helps us to focus and concentrate during these sacred moments, expelling the intruder. As you stand in Allah Azza wa Jal's hands during such sacred moments, during such a grand encounter, no one has more hasad, is more envious of you now than shaitan. So his mission is to steal every sweet moment that you might have with the one who you love, to steal every reward, so that you will finish your salah but only 1/3, or 1/9, or 1/10, or 1/5 has been accepted. Because only the parts of salah you are mindful are those which are accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. So just imagine that person, may Allah protect us from coming on this day with 90 years of salah, but to his surprise, only 6 years have been recorded to his name, or 5 or 4. It is because of shaitan that we begin to drift. Do you not notice that every worldly thought suddenly makes its way to your thoughts in salah? Items you lust for days or months are suddenly remembered and maybe even found. Even the designs on the musalla start to tell all sorts of entertaining stories. What do? You try to fight him and refocus, but he comes back. You fight him again. He comes back like a fly that will not leave you alone. So what is the solution for we who are so weak? We seek the help of our beloved from the evil of his creatures. With his name is Barakah. With his name is total protection from all harm. Thus, before we proceed in our salah any further, we formally express with confidence,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
I seek Allah's protection from Shaytan the accursed. Feel its power as you say it. The essence and heart of salah. It was common that when the time for salah came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn to Bilal and say, "Relieve us with it, O Bilal." In other words, make the call for what will lighten our burdens and will soothe and comfort us. When the Prophet was troubled with a difficult matter or much worry, he would turn to salah. After all, doesn't Allah Azza wa Jalla say, "Wasta'inu bis sabr wa salah," and seek the help with sabr and salah? Every people have their own method of seeking comfort, relaxation and escape. Some use music, some use exercises like yoga, and some unfortunately alcohol. As for us Muslims, we attain the benefits of all the above and more from salah. We resort to the source of all solutions, the source of all peace and relief, our beloved, our creator. Now we have guarded ourselves from shaitan's ways and ready to enter upon the most sacred part of our salah. The essence of it all, the Fatiha, the greatest surah in the Quran. The segment of salah without which you cannot have prayed and your salah would be nullified. The segment where Allah Azza wa Jal actually answers back to us at every ayah. How can we ever drift in this part of salah? But first, let's remind ourselves, what brought us to stand here right now? Yes, our endless love and deep longing to be with Allah. And when one meets up with his beloved, what is he first most likely to say? It is the sweet sound of his beloved's name. But this is no ordinary name. This is the name that blesses everything around it, everything it falls upon. This is a name that lifts away any evil, harm and pain. With it we start, and with it we finish. And with it we taste the sweetness of this life, and the sweetness of the next. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Feel it soothing your heart as it gently rolls off your lips. And when you love someone, you savor in how perfect they are, don't you? No one deserves this more than Allah, for only He is truly perfect. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. In praising Him, we are in essence establishing Allah's undeniable perfection. The Prophet told us, Alhamdulillah fills the scales. Let gratitude fill our hearts when we utter it. He has blessed us with so much, and always keep in mind that when we thank anyone in this dunya, we are in fact thanking Allah. He is the ultimate source. If we examine this more closely, when we say Alhamdulillah, we are even praising Allah Azza wa Jal and thanking Him for the blessing that He has given us with the ability to even praise Him in the first instance, as even this ability is from Him. So in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes praise for Himself through us. So we need to feel our dependence and need for Him, feeling the effects of the gift of remembering and praising Him. A journey beyond our limits.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
So with Alhamdulillah, we have affirmed Allah's ultimate perfection and thanked Him for all that we are and all that He is. Now, most of us have received that PowerPoint email which zooms us out in powers of 10 from that tiny cell of a leaf all the way out to the stars and planets and galaxies. Now, instead of starting from that small leaf, start the zoom process with the image of yourself as you are standing in Salah before Allah Azza wa Jal. So as you ponder over this image, first begin to think about all those systems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the body that are running in beautiful order to sustain you. The blood system, the immune system, the nervous system, all the different types of hormones, the heart beating, the lungs pumping, the skin cells, the liver cells, the various organs, that's within you. Now, zoom out. Zoom out and imagine you're surrounded by all the plant world, the trees, the flowers, and the animals. Zooming out, you can see the oceans and seas. Zoom out more, you can see the planets which are within our galaxies. You see the sun. Zoom out again, you're starting to get more distant. You're beginning to see other parts of the Milky Way. You're zooming out of the Milky Way, you're seeing other galaxies, and so on and so forth. And there's billions and billions of stars in the billions and billions of galaxies. And we're not even including here the world of the jinn or the world of the malaika. Now, this may not be the end of it, but we have reached the limit of our knowledge. So start zooming back down, back through all of that, back to where you were standing in Salah. Would you say that you're just a speck in Allah's canvas above? Nowhere even close. You are no longer even visible in relation to the grand size of Allah's universe. And imagine this heaven with six more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reigning over all of it, orchestrating the perfect order and function of it all. So how do you feel now as you stand before Him, praising Him, speaking to Him? How do you feel now being answered by Him as you recite every ayah? Can you imagine that you could commit a sin against Him or disobey His order? How about going against such love? How much love must He have for us to select us, given our insignificant position in the great canvas of His creation, for this beautiful exchange and the opportunity to pray the Salah? After all, He has blessed us with the ability to answer the call to Salah and stand before Him. That's an honor unlike any other. How can we not give our best? How can we turn our backs on salah again, knowing we are missing out on such a privilege? The Prophet ﷺ tries to help us to understand the grandness of Allah Azza wa Jal by telling us that the kursi, the footstool of Allah's arsh, extends over all of the heavens and the earth. And the heavens, the seven heavens, in comparison to this kursi, is like a small ring cast in the span of a desert. The next time you stand for salah, view yourself from above and far away, so you can truly taste the meaning behind Rabbil Alameen. Unraveling more secrets of Al-Fatiha.
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
Have you ever wondered why this comes before Maliki Yawmiddin in this surah? Picture this scenario. You happen to be at the scene of a crime and there's an ongoing investigation. The trial begins, and though you are innocent, the judge summons you for questioning. He proceeds to question you in one of two manners. He at once bombards you with interrogation. Were you at the scene of the crime? What were you doing? When did you arrive? What did you see? When your heart nearly stops and your nerves can no longer stand it, the judge then reassures you and says, by the way, we know that you are innocent, but we are collecting as much information as we can. Or he declares to you from the beginning that we know that you are innocent, but we appreciate all the information that you can help us with, and then proceeds with his questions. You would be much more relaxed and comfortable in the second scenario, wouldn't you? So what does Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim have to do with Maliki Yawmiddin? And why does it come before it? To remind us that it is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim who will judge us on the Day of Judgment. These two names should kindle within us the sense of relief and reassurance in Salah when we are reminded of our standing before Allah Azza wa Jal on that terrifying day, the Day of Judgment. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim declares that Allah's sovereignty is that of an all-encompassing mercy, not wrath. In this life, He is there for everyone. Believers and non-believers, the righteous and the wrongdoers. He feeds, clothes, heals, provides for all. He's not quick to punish, but provides ample time for people to return to Him, a whole lifetime. And Allah's mercy is manifested either through His giving of favors or through His withholding of them. And when He sometimes withholds a favor from us, this in reality is the heart of giving. For we have been given of knowledge but so very little to immediately realize the wisdom. Again, it's a mercy in disguise. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, does He who created not know? But it may be well that you hate a thing the while it is good for you, and it may well be that you love a thing the while it is bad for you. And Allah knows where you do not know. When we say Ar-Rahman, this form in the Arabic language implies to the fullest extent. Thus, Allah is truly the most merciful to the fullest extent of the word. Ar-Rahman is the most all-encompassing of His names. Just remember by which name He chose to preside over His throne. Ar-Rahman al-Arshistawa. The Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, above His throne resides. His most all-encompassing name is always coupled in the Quran with His most all-encompassing creation, His throne. And this name only belongs to Him. You will never find anyone called Ar-Rahman except Allah Azza wa Jal. But instead people will name themselves Abdul Rahman, the servant of the Most Merciful. You will also never find anyone with the name Allah besides Allah. These two names are His exclusively. Now, Ar-Rahim is the one who delivers His mercy to His creation. You will see this name used in the Quran when Allah speaks of His mercy to believers. Specifically, if we know well the true nature of Allah and the true nature of people, we will prefer without an instant of hesitation to deal with Allah over having to deal with people. It suffices us to know that Allah's mercy for us far exceeds the mercy of our own mothers for us. So, alhamdulillah, for the kind of sovereignty He reigns by. Feel the rhythm of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Lift the heaviness of your heart. A little shaken. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal choose the word Malik, meaning Master, Lord or Sovereign? This is because any authority or power that was granted to creation in this life would be neutralized completely then. All dominion and power would now belong to the real King. In fact, no one can even utter a word or intercede for anyone else until He permits it. There are two recitations for this word, Maliki and Maliki. Two meanings to demonstrate Allah's sole and absolute control and authority on that dreaded day.
يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says, on the day you will see, every nursing mother will be distracted from that child she was nursing, and every pregnant woman will abort her pregnancy, and you will see the people appearing intoxicated while they are not intoxicated. But the punishment of God is severe.
يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when man will flee from his own brother and from his mother and his father and from his spouse and his children. On that day the heavens will be rolled up like written scrolls in his right hand, and the trumpet will be sounded, and all that are in the heavens and the earth will fall senseless. Who is left? The angels of the trumpet. So Allah Azza wa Jalla takes his soul. Who is left? No one. And our Lord calls, to whom does the dominion belong to today? No answer. To whom does the dominion belong to today? No answer. To whom does the dominion belong to today? Dead silence. And Allah finally answers Himself and declares, to Allah, the One, the Overpowering. Then a second trumpet is sounded, when behold, they will stand and look on, and the earth will shine bright with the light of its Lord. Your Lord stands and His angels rank upon rank, and hell on that day is brought face to face, and the sun draws nearer above the heads, on a day the length of which will be 50,000 years. How can we be saved from the horrors of that day? The answer coming up next. In the meantime, let's call upon these real images with Maliki Yawmiddin. As you recite it in your prayer, pause upon it for a while. These words should not fall upon deaf ears and closed hearts, for a true Muslim's heart always oscillates between hope and fear. Hope for Allah's mercy and fear of Allah's displeasure and punishment. The key to salvation.
إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ.
It is you we worship and you we ask for help. If we take the time to contemplate upon Maliki Yawmiddin, it is a verse that should really truly shake us. Many, when they stand in prayer, pay no attention to these words they utter. Those words never reach their hearts, but are an unconscious recitation of what they've memorized. It is said that those focused and whose hearts are truly humble in salah are like a fish in water, and those who are not are like a bird in a cage. So what will save us from the horrors of that terrifying day? The answer lies in the next verse. For the next verse summarizes Surah Al-Fatiha, the greatest surah in the Quran. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Every Prophet gave his people this key to salvation. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, I have come to you with a plain warning that you worship none but Allah. For verily, I fear for you the punishment of a grievous day. So what should be our ultimate goal in this life? to worship Allah and nothing else. For this is the reason we were created. And what are our means to attaining this goal? It is through seeking Allah's help. And what is the most important aspect of worship? It is the sincerity of the heart. That all that we are and all that we do is for Allah alone and no one else. To seek His pleasure only. Without that sincerity of intention, it would be as if you are a traveler journeying with bags of sand, carrying a heavy load, but a completely useless load. If you were to be asked why you did what you did for any given deed, you can firmly answer for Allah. And if asked, sure, and for what else, you will affirm with certainty for nothing else. Sincerity, pure to Allah Azza wa Jal, will change your life. The time has come to correct our intention in everything we do. The time has come to teach it to our children, so that everything that they do is because Allah likes it, and everything that they refrain from doing is because Allah does not like it. To learn that their reward is with Allah alone, not with people. Indeed, pure sincerity of intention is not easy to attain, but it is not impossible. Because we have been taught the amazing words, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and to you alone we turn for help. If Allah Azza wa Jal helps you, there is nothing you cannot do. It is all in His hands. Ask and He will grant you. After all, doesn't He remind us, you are all astray except for those whom I guide, as the hadith in Sahih Muslim. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ was a verse over which those who came before us would weep for hours. One of them was once praying in Mecca. His friend went ahead and did the tawaf. When he returned to him, he was still at the verse, repeating it and crying till the sun came up. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Let us pause and reflect on it for a while. Let it cleanse any hypocrisy that has ever tainted our hearts. The greatest dua you can ever make. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. And now we come upon the greatest, wisest, most comprehensive dua we can ever make. If Allah Azza wa Jal guides us to the straight path, then He has helped us to worship Him like we should. If you notice, Surah Al-Fatiha teaches us the proper etiquette of how to ask Allah when we have a need. It teaches us the proper way to make dua so He will listen to us and answer. As befits a majesty, we begin with a glorification and praise due to our Lord. Then we make our request. Now the path we need to win Allah's pleasure is called the Sirat, the straight path. But this path is not so easy to follow without assistance. There are specifics to this path that we will know and specifics which we may not. In fact, the specifics we don't have enough knowledge of far outnumber the specifics we know about. And of these specifics we do know, there will be some we are physically able to carry out and some we will not. For example, like Hajj. And of those requirements which we are physically able to carry out, at times we will enjoy them and at times we may find them burdensome, like waking up for Salat al-Fajr in the summer months. And even when we do accomplish that obligatory duty, at times we fulfill the sincerity behind the deed, and at times we may not. And at times we may perform it properly according to the prophetic example necessary for His acceptance, and at times we may not. And even if we fulfill all of the above, the knowledge, the ability, the right attitude, the sincerity, and the adherence to the prophetic example, we will still need one more thing, steadfastness. To perform it properly every time. Do you now see why we are so desperate for Allah's guidance to the straight path? Do you see why we can't do without His help? And do you see now how comprehensive this dua is? Now, as you know, there are two sirats. One is in this life, the one we spoke of. The second one is in the next life, described to be the dangerously thin with a sword's edge sharpness. This is the one that spans over the fires of hell, over which one every one of us must pass if we were to reach paradise. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran,
وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا
وإن منكم إلا واردها كان على ربك حتما مقضيا ثم ننجي الذين اتقوا ونذر الظالمين فيها جثيا.
And there is none of you except he will come to it. This is upon your Lord an inevitability decreed. Then we will save those who fear Allah and leave the wrongdoers within it on their knees. If we are firm and steadfast on the first sirat, i.e. the one in this life, then we will be firm on the next. So stability on the second is directly related to the degree of faith and good deeds earned in this life. Our strong faith and good deeds will be our guiding light on that dreadful bridge amidst the darkness of the Day of Judgment. Allah says in the Quran, the day you shall see the believing men and believing women, their light running forward before them and on their right. And so accordingly, some will cross it with the quickness of lightning, some the speed of a shooting star, some like the wind, some like the speeding stallion, some at a running speed, while others will crawl on their hands and knees, and others will fall and never make it. And the Prophet will stand pleading in desperate prayer, my Lord, spare them. My Lord, save them. The sirat of this life leads us to Allah. The sirat of the next life leads us to Jannah. Do you now feel how serious this dua is? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Our entire existence depends on it. The Ameen you pronounce now, after knowing the above, will be much more heartfelt. As a matter of fact, for any dua to be answered by Allah, the condition is that it must come from a focused, attentive heart. For Allah does not answer a supplication that comes from an absent, preoccupied heart. Concluding Al-Fatiha.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor, not of those who have evoked your anger, or of those who are astray. As we bid farewell to Surah Al-Fatiha, we conclude with its last remaining verses. We talked about the sirat and how we must strive with Allah's help and guidance to remain steadfast on the path in order to succeed in this life and the next. And since the right company makes all the difference in providing the support, reinforcement and good example to staying firm in faith and conduct, we specify that Allah guides us to the path of those whom you have bestowed favor. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. This is a reminder of all the good men and women who have succeeded before us. These are the prophets, the righteous, the companions, and the foremost, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are consoled when we remember them and the hardship they endured. It makes our trials bearable, and we are relieved and comforted that inshallah we will be of their company in our next eternal life. غير المغضوب عليهم. None of those whom upon is wrath. These are the people who know very well the truth and what is right, but deliberately reject it and refuse to abide by it. So they have the knowledge but refuse to conform. An example, those who knew that they must pray but chose not to. وَلَضَّالِينَ. Nor of those who go astray. These are those people who lack the knowledge of the truth and don't search for it. So they conform but to the wrong path. Another example, those who pray but in an unacceptable manner. Do you notice that the words relating to grace and blessings are specific to Allah Azza wa Jal, and أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, that you bestowed, while the words relating to wrath are not specific to Allah alone? That is because when it comes to granting favors and blessings, Allah is the sole provider of it all. But when evil is committed, this evokes the wrath of not only Allah Azza wa Jal, but the wrath of creation as well. The angels, the prophets, the righteous. And finally, Ameen. Ameen means, my Lord, grant, answer my prayers. With Ameen, we are pleading to the one who's in his hands is our guidance, success and salvation. So express wholeheartedly your need for Allah, just as if you have been sentenced to death and you are pleading with the victim's family for pardon, there will be a desperation and passion to the tone of your voice as your heart begs for their forgiveness. And here's another great reason for a wholehearted Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that if our Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels above, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive us all our previous sins. So there is no time to be drifting in our salah. This is too good to miss. Our heart needs to be present and alive. As we mentioned earlier, Al-Fatiha is the heart of salah and is one of the major pillars. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, he has not prayed the one who has not recited Al-Fatiha. As we have seen, it is the greatest surah. In it, we talk directly to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He answers back to us at every verse. What does He say to us? Listen to this. And this is taken from the Hadith Qudsi. Allah Azza wa Jal says, I have divided the prayer into two halves between myself and my servant. And my servant shall have what he asked for. If he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, my servant has praised me. When the servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, my servant has glorified me. When he says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah says, my servant has glorified me, or my servant has related all matters to me. When he says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, this is between me and my servant shall be granted what he sought. When he says, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have granted your grace, not the way of those who have earned your anger, nor of those who have went astray. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, this is for my servant, and my servant shall be granted what he asked for. So the next time you are in Salah, reciting Al-Fatiha, remember to pause momentarily as the Prophet did after every verse, because His Majesty is facing you and responding to you. Feel it. What an honor it is to be His servant. Recite with the heart. We have now completed Al-Fatiha and move on to the Qur'an recitation after it. Did you ever notice that any Qur'an recited in Salah is always recited when we are in the standing position? We do not recite Al-Fatiha or any other surah in a sitting position, nor during our ruku, nor during our sujood. Why? The standing position is man's most dignified, honorable and respectful position possible. And because this Qur'an speaks the most honorable and noble speech, it is thus only befitting for the most noble speech to be recited while in the most dignified and respectful of positions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that he was prohibited from reciting the Quran while in ruku and while in sujood. The Quran is a speech of Allah and is due our utmost respect. But how many a time when we recited it absent-mindedly, without any feeling or emotion, without any reflection on its powerful words. For many of us, if asked what of Allah's prohibitions did we just recite, we have no answer. What of Allah's commands did we just recite? We cannot recall. People stand behind their imam in prayer. He recites of Jannah, of Jahannam, and they are off drifting of food and drink. If ever we were to conduct a historic interview with a powerful ruler, how attentive would we be? We will grant not only our submissive ears, but all our hearts as well, wouldn't we? In fact, we would be so in tune that we'd probably even memorize this ruler's every word as he speaks. So how can we not be mindful of what we are reciting when it is Allah who speaks to us in this meeting? It is said that if our hearts were pure enough, we will never get enough of Allah's words. Remember, it is not in the quantity of Quran recited, but in the quality of how we recite and its effect on us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once prayed an entire night with just one verse, repeating it while he was crying. If you should punish them, indeed they are your servants, but if you forgive them, Indeed, it is you who is exalted in might and wise. So we are to recite with feeling, aware that we are talking to Allah Azza wa Jal and He is speaking to us. But how do we know what we feel with any given verse? Ibn Qayyim gave us basic guidelines to help us even if we lack thorough knowledge of tafsir. He says that if a verse speaks of Allah's favors upon you, His names, His attributes, then it is love that should fill your heart. If a verse speaks of Allah's mercy, forgiveness, the people of Jannah, then it is happiness, comfort and hope that should fill your heart. If a verse speaks of Allah's wrath, punishment, destroyed civilization, then it is fear and worry that should fill your heart. Thus, we are always in a state between love, hope and fear when reciting Allah's words. The Quran is greater than what we know. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran,
لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون.
If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it humble and coming apart from the fear of Allah. And these examples we present to the people that perhaps they will reflect. Satisfy your greatest need. We have now finished our recitation. We pause momentarily, then begin the ruku or the bowing as we simultaneously call out Allahu Akbar. A reminder to refocus should we have drifted. A reminder that we stand here on earth in prayer while Allah Azza wa Jal looks upon us from the seven heavens. Our salah should be thus a beautiful one, especially our bowing, for Allah is beautiful and He loves that which is beautiful. We would not meet anyone this day greater and more grand than Allah Azza wa Jal. So let us beautify and perfect this salah to Him while saying,
سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم.
How glorified and perfect my Lord is, the Supreme. Let the palms rest on the knees, fingers apart. Straighten the back and keep it level with the head. Maintain a calm hold till every part and joint is relaxed and has peacefully set in place. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Focus on the pronoun that means my, Rabbi. It adds that element of bonding, that ingredient for connection and love. He is my Rabb, my Lord, who has raised me in His care, clothing me, feeding me, healing me, nurturing me. A heartfelt Subhana, meaning far removed is He from any imperfection. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. A second time, a third time, as our hearts are humbled in submission before Him, realize His majesty, recall His sovereignty. I place all my hopes with You, my Rabb. Many of us perform this part of the Salah mechanically, devoid of any emotion or connection like that felt when reciting Quran or when done in sujood. But in reality, ruku is an intense symbol of worship and servitude to our Lord. In it lies the essence of humbleness and humility. The Arabs back then knew this, and the arrogant amongst them refused to do it in bold defiance. One requested in his place to the Prophet that he proceed from the standing position of prayer immediately to sujood, to bypass ruku altogether. Every one of us was created with particular needs, like the need to feel loved, the need to be alone for a while, the need to know that someone special awaits you at home after a long, hard day at work, the need to spend time with your children and kiss them to sleep, the need to hear good words. When these needs go unsatisfied, an imbalance occurs within us that can affect the quality of our entire day. We might become irritable and cranky and not know why. A need within us has not been met that day, but we have been created with a need far greater and more critical for our complete well-being than any other. It is the need to worship. To satisfy this need, people through the ages have worshipped everything under the sun, and including the sun. They worshipped idols, water, animals, snakes, the sun, the stars, moon, science, and even their own desires. And they exhaust great efforts and wealth to do so. Indeed, this need to worship must be satisfied. But none of the above can satisfy it like worshipping the one true God. And Salah fulfills that satisfaction with ruku being an essential and critical part of it. The Prophet and those before us used to feel such satisfaction and pleasure in ruku, and they would hold in that position the same length as when in standing qiyam in Salah. One companion said he recited Al-Fatiha, then Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, An-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, and the companion Abdullah ibn Zubair was beside him still in ruku. The Prophet once saw a man rushing through his prayer, pecking up and down his ruku and sujood. He said, if this man dies in this state, then he dies belonging to a creed other than the creed of Muhammad. Thus our ruku should be performed calmly, peacefully, according to the Prophet's example. This worldly life is full of hardships and aches. We laugh one day, only to cry the next. Its demands and toils leave us thirsty and tired. What can quench the thirst better than Salah? The Prophet said, the one who does not complete his ruku properly is like the one who is starving and eats just a date or two. It does not satisfy his hunger. Let us then find our comfort and relief in our ruku and sujood. 17 times each day we bow. Our love for Allah has to grow with that. And when you love Him, He will love you even more, for He is the most kind, the most generous. And who can ever harm you when the Creator Himself loves you? In preparation for the greatest pillar of Salah, we just completed a beautiful station of Salah, the Ruku. The Ruku is the prelude to Sujood, from one posture of submission to a greater, more complete posture of submission. But before the Sujood comes another beautiful station of Salah, and that is the standing after the Ruku. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah does not look to a servant's Salah if he does not straighten his back between ruku and sujood. Therefore, that motionless, peaceful, calm maintained in the other parts of Salah must be especially maintained here as well, allowing for the bones to return to their joints. For he also told us that the worst thief is the one who steals from his Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in this part of the prayer a length equal to that of his ruku.
سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ.
May Allah answer he who praises him. Yet as we rise for this stand this time, it is not Allahu Akbar that we call out, but instead سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. Why? Remember what we said, that any dua, request made before the king, is only proper and acceptable when preceded by praise and much extolling. Just as the Fatiha starts out with praise before the greatest dua is made, اِهْدِنَا السَّلَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, the same holds true here. For we are about to enter the greatest pillar of Salah, the Sujood, in which we will be the closest we can ever be to Allah, and during which the du'as and supplications are always answered. سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Therefore signals us to praise Allah much before we are to make our du'as when in sujood. And to what we say upon that signal once we have risen,
رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ.
We begin our praise, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Our Lord, for you is all the praise. And we can add,
حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ.
An abundant, beautiful, blessed praise. The Prophet was once leading in Salah when he said, سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. When one of the companions behind him added the above extension, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ. When the prayer was finished, the Prophet ﷺ turned to his companion and asked, which one of you just said those words? The man replied, me, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet commented, I just saw 30 or so angels racing to write it first. You can also add,
ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد.
praise that fills, abounds the heavens, fills the earth, fills all that is between them, and fills all else of what you have willed. We can go a step further and say the above dua. The all else implies the rest of creation, that for us human beings is beyond our imagination and grasp. With those words, we are humbly admitting our limitations in knowledge in comparison to that of our Creator. This variety of sayings available to us helps us to regularly renew our focus in Salah for better concentration. Let us praise and praise and praise some more. We will never be able to praise our Lord enough, for no one can ever praise Allah Azza wa Jal the complete praise justly due to Him. Save for one, do you know who that is? It is Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. Only He can praise Himself the complete praise. For there are attributes and qualities belonging to Allah Azza wa Jal that we cannot even imagine, nor have they ever been revealed to us or any other creation. Attributes, the knowledge of which lies with Him alone. A magnificence completely beyond our scope, where true happiness really lies. We have just finished the ruku, the bowing, and the stand after it. This standing serves to prepare us for the greatest pillar of Salah. This pillar will be the sweet seal to that unit of Salah, the rak'ah. All that came before it were merely what leads to it, preludes to the grand finale, the sujood. So what is the sujood really about? Many of us have been performing the sujood robotically over the years, out of a mechanical routine, and thus we have not felt its powerful effect. We will not be able to taste the true sweetness of any part of the salah until we get our heart into it. Sujood is the ultimate symbol of complete submission to our Creator. It is as if we are saying, O Allah, what do you ask of me? I give you the most precious thing I own, the most dignified and honored part of me, my faith, and unto the lowest, most degraded spot around me, place it on the ground. For you alone, my Lord, I give you all that I am. Sujood is the real secret to true happiness. How? Ask yourself this, where does Jannah lie? The place of ultimate bliss, up above in the seventh heaven, close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Where does hell lie? The place of ultimate misery, down below, furthest from Allah Azza wa Jal. As the gateways of Jannah do not open up for the wrongdoers, what is the highest rank that can be reached in Jannah, the point of ultimate bliss? It is a place called Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. That's where the Prophet is. Its ceiling is Allah's Arsh. It is the highest place in Jannah, the closest one can ever come to Allah. In other words, for those who reside there, their neighbor is Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. Let's keep asking. When the Prophet was facing his toughest time in Mecca, feeling the deepest sadness, how did Allah console him and lift his spirits? He raised the Prophet to him during the most momentous event of all time, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, till he reached the closest a man can ever reach in nearness to his Lord. Even the things that are the source of happiness in this life, a good word, a good deed, rise to him where they belong. For Allah Azza wa Jalla says, unto him ascend all good words, and the righteous deed he exalts and raises. So, where does happiness lie? It lies high above with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the secret formula goes like this. The closer you become to Allah, the higher your spirits will rise, and thus the happier you will be. But how do we reach the levels of this great happiness? We must rise closer to that elevation. How do we do that? By lowering ourselves down. Recall the hadith. He who humbles himself to Allah, Allah raises him. Raises him in honor. Raises him to the place of true happiness. And recall this hadith. The closest a servant ever is to his Lord is when he is prostrating. And what does Allah Azza wa Jal say at the end of Surah Al-Alaq? Prostrate and draw near. Do you realize now what you have been doing all these years? You were trying to draw nearer to your Lord with every prostration. Your body is down firm to the ground, but your spirits are rising, trying to draw nearer to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The Prophet tells us, perform much sujood, prostration, for there is not a Muslim who performs a prostration but is raised by Allah a rank in heaven and is burdened of a sin, all the way till he reaches the highest ranks, the highest for those, where Allah's throne bounds it from above, and in it abides our beloved Prophet. Rabi' ibn Ka'b was once helping out the Prophet with water for his wudu, when the Prophet said to him, ask me. So Rabi' replied, I ask to be with you in Jannah. Anything else? The Prophet asked. Only that, Rabi' said. To that the Prophet replied, then help me to help you get there by performing much sujood, prostration. So you see now, in order for your spirits to be lifted high, you must bring your body down. And just as your body does its sujood, make sure your heart is in sujood as well, in prostration to the one who above the throne is established. Every day, directing new affairs, to him rise the needs and the deeds of everyone. Everyone needs him and he needs no one. Forgiving a sin here, easing a difficulty there, strengthening someone weak, mending a broken heart, bringing into life, taking a life, guiding to him whom he wills, leading astray whom he wills, providing for and blessing a people, taking away a blessing from another, honoring a people, degrading and humiliating another, bringing joy and happiness to some, taking it away from others. When your heart performs a prostration, you will know it, for you will rise from it with a special glow. It is that sign of the grace and light of Allah, that gentleness and kindness, that blessed peace and calmness that can come from no other source. Sujood, prostration, is the most special part of prayer. Sujood is very precious. And how many a worry has sujood relieved? And how many a difficulty and trial has sujood resolved? And how many a need has sujood fulfilled? And how many a dua went unanswered till it was made in sujood? Bring yourself down to the ground to bring yourself closer to the Lord. Prostrate with body, heart and soul, and taste the sweetest feeling in the world. Taste the real happiness of this world. The perfect sujood. We continue with the greatest pillar of salah, sujood. Now don't you wish that you could have watched the Prophet himself as he did his sujood? This is the aim of this segment, to carry to you the description of the proper sujood, just the way our Messenger prostrated before Allah Azza wa Jal, in hope that we can perfect our performance of this precious pillar. When you are ready to perform the sujood, make sure to call out Allahu Akbar on your way down for sujood, not before, not after, but during the descent. The stronger opinion is that the palms are to touch the ground first before the knees, to avoid resembling the descent of a beast, i.e. camel. Next, the head makes a gentle contact with the ground till the forehead and the nose is firm upon the ground. Ensure that there is no barrier, as that of a head covering, that might prevent direct contact of your forehead with the place of prostration. With palms firmly down, keep fingers close together. Point fingers, knees and toes towards the Qibla. Palms can either be parallel with the head or parallel with the shoulders. Keep the elbows elevated off the ground. For men, extend elbows as far away from your side as possible. Keep the abdomen away from the thighs. The sujood is done on a total of 7 body parts. The forehead, including the nose, the 2 palms, the 2 knees, the 2 feet, all firm upon the ground till every bone and joint is fixed in place with peace and calm. The Prophet ﷺ never recited Quran in this position, but instead he made much dua. The Prophet said, the closest a servant ever is to his Lord is when he is prostrating. So make in it much dua. And what have we been taught to say when we are so low?
سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي الأعلى.
How glorified and perfect my Lord is, the Most High. We can add,
سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي.
How perfect you are, O Allah, our Lord, and I praise you, O Allah, forgive me.
سبوح قدوس رب الملائكة والروح.
Perfect and holy is He, Lord of the angels and the Ruh, i.e. Jibril. The Prophet taught us many supplications, each with a different meaning, each with a unique flavor. Each serves to renew our focus. To make dua is to talk to Allah. When you love someone, you love to talk to him more. You love to stay engaged longer. Do you remember what Allah spoke to Musa in the valley of Tur? As Allah spoke to him, Musa listened and listened, so absorbed. Then, what did he do when Allah suddenly asked him, "What is that in your right hand, O Musa?" Musa was feeling such a comfort and pleasure as he engaged with the words of his beloved Lord that a euphoria enveloped his answer. And with that, he set off in speech, "It is my staff, I lean upon it, and I bring down leaves with it for my sheep." He was so lost in the rapture of this special engagement till he remembered the grandeur before him, and so cut it short, "And in it I have other uses." So as you prostrate in nearness to him, try to feel the pleasure Prophet Musa felt. Remember the love you hold for him. Talk to him. Praise him. Ask him. Unload your burdens at his door and reach out for the peace that only he can bring. You can also recite,
اللهم إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك.
O Allah, I seek refuge within your pleasure from your displeasure, and within your pardon from your punishment. And I seek refuge in you from you. And I cannot enumerate your praise. You are as you have praised yourself. We have one ruku in each unit of salah, but two prostrations. Why? Because the sujood is the salah's greatest pillar. It is performed twice. Once is just not enough. The Prophet used to lengthen his prostrations, savoring in these precious moments with Allah. A desperate plea. As we have seen so far, every station in Salah has a special meaning and a unique significance, so that with every position we move to, we are transported into a new and different scene. These transitions help our minds to stay aware of and internalize the words we utter. These transitions help our hearts stay alive throughout Salah, alive with alternating feelings and emotions before Allah. Those of love, hope, fear and humility. The station we arrive at now is one which should inspire immense humility and fear. It is a position resembling a position that will occur on the Day of Judgment. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون.
And you will see every nation kneeling from fear. Every nation will be called to its record and told, "Today you will be recompensed for what you used to do. This our record speaks about you in truth. Indeed, we were having transcribed whatever you used to do." From Surah Al-Jathiyah. In our world, it is that mortifying position of one about to hear about his death sentence. A position of someone in utmost desperation for a pardon, a savior. It is the sitting between the two prostrations, down on your knees. What is it that we are to say when in this position? No words can we possibly need more than Rabbi Firli, my Lord forgive me, my Lord forgive me. Twice, three times, four times or more. How many times have we wronged ourselves and transgressed Allah's bounds? It is a time to ask for much forgiveness as we sit in this position of full servitude and helplessness. The Prophet used to sit in this position at length equal to that of his sujood, seeking Allah's forgiveness and making the following dua.
Allahumma ighfir li warhamni wahdini wajburni wa'afini warzuqni warfa'ni.
Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me. Guide me and enrich me. Give me health and provide for me and raise me in rank. The provision we ask of Allah Azza wa Jal implies a provision in this life, and more importantly in the next, on the Day of Judgment, as creation fretfully awaits its judgment. The Prophet will prostrate before Allah's throne in a prolonged sujood, praising, glorifying, praying and crying for the people of his nation, till Allah Azza wa Jal answers him, "Lift your head up, O Muhammad, ask and it will be granted, intercede and it will be accepted." The Prophet will rise from his sujood to this position, begin his intercession for us. From this we can understand that our prayers can be answered both when we are in sujood or after. As we beg for Allah's forgiveness, we proceed to make another sujood, for we need to draw closer still to our Lord. One sujood is not enough. As the first surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Alaq, starts with a recitation, read Iqra, and ends with a prostration, so is the case with the Raqa', which is the unit of Salah. It starts with recitation and ends with prostration. Every act of worship has a special beauty to it, a unique flavor. The more we learn, the more we can taste that flavor and feeling that beauty. After all, are they equal, those who know and those who do not know? The farewell scene.
التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
Words of praise and salutations are for Allah, and prayers and pure words. Peace and salutations upon you, O Prophet, and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. And peace be upon us and upon all of Allah's righteous servants. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and testify that Muhammad is His slave and messenger. If you have just finished the first raqa' of your salah, then rise for the second, and rise for a new chance to improve your focus and to ensure that this time your heart and mind are fully alive with the humbleness and humility required of us in salah. If this is your last raqa', then we have arrived at the farewell scene, the sweet ending to this beautiful meeting between a servant and his merciful Lord. We have arrived at the tashahud. Our hands are to be placed upon our knees, or just above, on the lower thighs, as is proper when speaking to our Lord. Our farewell address must also begin first by sending all praise and glorification to Allah for His eternal existence, His perfection, His sovereignty. Greet Him directly. Speak to Him with these beautiful words, At-tahiyyatu lillahi. Greetings, praises, glorification is due to Allah alone and no one else. Was-salawatu, and our du'as and our prayers are to Him. Wat-tayyibatu, and all the good deeds in the forms of actions and words are for Him alone. For Allah accepts only what is good, pure and sincere. Now the words you will pronounce will travel off to another land, thousands of miles away, to Medina, to where rests the blessed body of the greatest man who ever lived, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you, O Prophet. Indeed, you send this special greeting to him and he answers you back. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is not one who sends upon me his peace and blessings, but Allah returns my soul to me so that I can return upon him my peace and blessings." Now glance over at the nearest doorway to you and imagine that the Prophet has just entered with his beautiful face, with his neatly wrapped amama, in his pure white sweet-scented clothes, with his warm smile that melts your heart. He has chosen to greet only one today, and that's you. How would you feel? What would you say? With these loving words above, you are speaking directly to the Prophet now. And just think, you have this honorable privilege at least 5 times a day. How many of us have wished to have lived during his time, to see him and be with him? With these words above, we are with him. So let us greet our Prophet with a heart full of affection and full of appreciation and gratitude for the best example he has set for this priceless message he has brought to us. And while we reflect over how much love and esteem we hold for him, let us remember that we are now sitting in the hands of the one who created our Prophet, and how much love we hold for Allah himself, whom as a result of your greetings and peace upon his Prophet, now sends you a tenfold share of the blessings and peace. After sending of praise and greetings upon Allah, then upon his Prophet, we now send the blessings of peace upon ourselves and upon all of Allah's righteous servants. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Upon every righteous servant, whether in the heavens or earth, angel or man. Next, those powerful words of Tawheed, those words that affirm and renew our iman and sincerity. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. When death comes upon us, there is not one of us but he will die sometime between any 2 given times of Salah, either between Fajr and Dhuhr, or Dhuhr and Asr, or Asr and Maghrib, or Maghrib or Isha, or between Isha and Fajr. The Prophet tells us, the one whose last words in this life are La ilaha illallah enters Jannah. This is no time to drift. These words of affirmation above are the key to paradise. Finally, as this beautiful meeting nears its end, Allah Azza wa Jal has granted that in these last precious moments you have with him, your du'as made here are answered. So first, ask for Allah's prayer and blessings upon our beloved Prophet and his family. Seek much forgiveness for yourself and for your parents. Then ask the most gracious, most merciful, the best of this life and the best of the next. Try to learn the prayers, du'a that the Prophet used to say, as they cover every possible need we could ever have.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his family as you have blessed Ibrahim and his family. You are the most praised, most glorious. Oh Allah, bestow your grace on Muhammad and his family as you bestowed it upon Ibrahim and his family. You are the most praised, most glorious. As you end your salah and turn your head to the right in salam upon those with you, you should be feeling a deep sense of comfort, peace and serenity now. If you don't, then your deeds are to blame, as they weigh down and numb the heart and distance you from your Lord. Seek Allah's forgiveness for the deficiency in your salah at least 3 times upon its completion, and stand up for the sunnah salah, for another chance to attain that needed peace that only Allah can supply. And always remember, as your love for Allah grows and grows, and as you draw nearer to Him, your heart will begin to come alive with a due humbleness before Him. Your focus will improve, and finally, you will be able to taste the true beauty of Salah. A meeting announcement, the call to prayer. A few words about the Adhan. Do you know when the Salah really starts? Would you say it's at Allahu Akbar? Well, actually, it starts way before then. It starts with the Adhan. The Prophet said, each one of you in reality is in a state of prayer as he waits to perform the Salah. The Adhan signals you to prepare yourself for your upcoming meeting with Allah. It should summon those feelings of humbleness and humility felt when reminded of Allah. Thus, you are already in Salah because you are now in that Salah mindset. Adhan also expels shaitan, since upon hearing it, he flees with anger and rage. Knowing this fact, that he's no longer there to distract you, should improve your concentration in salah and help you maintain that needed level of humbleness and humility for a beautiful, satisfying salah. The adhan is a chance for you to augment your salah, rewards that might have been reduced due to the deficiencies you could not prevent, i.e. when you drift. So how do we augment that reward? The Prophet tells us that the mu'adhin, the one who calls the call to prayer, gets the reward of everyone who prays with him. So for example, if 100 men pray with him, he gets the reward of those 100 prayers. For us to accumulate a similar reward to this mu'adhin, all we need to do is repeat the adhan after him. Say, as they say, as our Prophet said. So imagine if you were repeating the adhan in Makkah, where millions pray, and where one salah equals 100,000 in worth. Imagine your rewards then. Such is Allah's grace and generosity. A small, simple act met in return with such immense rewards. What does the adhan start with? Allahu Akbar. No one is more important in your life right now than He. Leave your business, leave your job, leave your family and your children, leave your sleep. Allah is greater than all of it. It's time to report to Him now. That's why the Mu'adhin repeats these words more than once. And for what are we to rise and leave all of this? And for what are we to rise and leave all of that? The answer lies in the word that comes next, La ilaha illallah. For you alone, O Allah, I leave it all behind. Stated another way, to ignore the call and neglect a prayer is to say that what is at hand is more important than Allah, that is more worthy of worship than He. What comes after La ilaha illallah? Well, when we rise to pray, whose example do we follow in the way we pray? It's the Prophet's example. Thus the adhan calls out, Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. So this establishes that for any given deed, two criteria must be met before a deed can be accepted. Sincerity to Allah and conformance to His Prophet's example. This fundamental rule is summarized in the verse of Surah Al-Kahf.
قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا.
Say, I am only a man like you, to whom has been revealed that your God is one God. So whoever would hope for the meeting with his Lord, let him do righteous work and not associate in the worship of his Lord anyone. Realize how honorable our Prophet Muhammad is. No individual's name is raised as high as his. With Muslims living in every part of the globe, calling out their adhan as the sun shines upon their land, the entire planet glorifies Muhammad around the clock, minute by minute, uninterrupted, 24 hours a day. So join the greatest glorification campaign ever. Repeat after your mu'adhin. So what is required of us now, after we have testified to sincerity and conformance, Hayya ala salah. But instead of repeating these words now, what must we say? We are to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might or power in me. There is no might or power but with which Allah grants. Only Allah can help me in obedience and facilitate my worship. I can't do it without His help. So adhan is similar. We are to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might or power except with Allah's help. Only Allah can help me rise in obedience and facilitate any worship. I can't do it without His help. So adhan is similar to the expression of Fatiha, where we first establish that worship is due to Him alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Then we seek His help. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. The next words should inspire us in sheer joy and enthusiasm. The next words promise us all the success. Hayya ala al-falah, come and rise to success. If this salah guarantees my success in my work in this life and then in the next, then how can I not arise and answer its call? And again, the power I have in me comes only from Allah. And to these words I say again, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And finally, the words that end the adhan are similar to those that started it. La ilaha illallah. Where Allah Akbar in the beginning calls upon you to leave the dunya, this world, because Allah is greater. Now La ilaha illallah summons you to come focus upon the akhirah, the next life, the real life to work for. The next time you hear the adhan, hear it as the long-awaited announcement that your meeting with your loved one is almost here. Listen to it like a child would as he stands in the arrivals terminal, anxiously awaiting his mother's return. And then hears the announcement that their flight has just touched down. The adhan also has unique flavor. For this longing and yearning to be with Allah should inspire you to rush to your salah without delay. The sad reality is that the adhan today has become for many a dull play of words that fades unnoticed into the backdrop of the commotion of busy, hectic lives. But as we learn of what its words really signify, we come to realize the power of the adhan in returning our outlook on life and on our entire existence. Fit to be seen. A few words about wudu, ablution. Many of us perform our wudu simply out of habit, assuming that there is nothing really special about it other than it is required before we make salah. But there is so much more to wudu than we know. You probably already know how to perform wudu, what you're supposed to say, how the Prophet did it, things such as not wasting water, etc. But what else could there be there to it? Well, notice that the above are all actions of your faculties, your hands, mouth, feet. But where is the heart? Isn't the heart the place where the intention lies? How many a small act augmented in the scales because of their intention? And how many a great act reduced in the scales because of the intention? Thus, when we involve the heart, add to the weight of a given action, far surpassing the amount of rewards earned by just the faculties alone. So the next time you rise to go and wash for salah, don't just fulfill a prescribed requirement before salah, but add on the following intention to gain much more. Rise with the intent of wholehearted obedience. Obedience to Allah as you fulfill His commands of the ayat from Surah Al-Ma'idah. O you who believe, when you rise to perform salah, wash your faces and your forearms to the elbows and wipe over your heads and wash your feet to the ankles. Rise with the intent of complete conformance to our beloved Prophet's example, the best example. Rise with the intent of cleansing yourself of your wrong deeds. Since wudu is your prerequisite before entering upon Allah and no one is permitted to enter upon Him except in a state of purity, wudu cleanses you from the outside till you can be cleansed next from the inside. Our Prophet said, he who performs wudu and perfects it, his wrong deeds leave his body till it runs off with the last drop of water. And these sins are washed off from every part of wudu. The sins committed by his hands, his feet, his face, his eyes, his mouth. Visualize it with a heart full of hope in Allah's mercy. Upon completion, proclaim the Shahada.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
That I witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, without partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. And then say,
اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين.
Oh Allah, make me of those who return to you often in repentance and make me of those who remain clean and pure. With wudu you are preparing for the meeting with the king, and as before any meeting of such status and prestige, one needs to beautify himself, going to great lengths to appear presentable. This beauty given by wudu will stay with us till the Day of Judgment. The Prophet once said, "How I wish we could have seen our brothers, those of his nation who had yet to come after him." That's us. He will be able to identify us on that day from the bright traces of our wudu in our faces and our extremities. The Prophet encouraged us to wash even beyond the required point on each body part, beyond the elbows and the ankles, for an even brighter, more luminous effect on that day. This extra effort not only erases sins, but also raises the ranks. Wudu can eventually take us even higher and higher in rank, to a status unimaginable. How? The Prophet one morning asked Bilal, "How did you get ahead of me in Jannah?" Meaning, as a servant walks ahead of his master in serving him, "I entered Jannah and heard your movement before me." Bilal answered, "Well, Ya Rasulullah, never did I make the adhan but prayed two rakahs after it, and never did I lose my wudu but I immediately renewed it." With that, commended our Prophet. When we finish our wudu, we seal it with shahada, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," upon which all the 8 gates of heaven open up for us to enter through any gate we choose. In summary, it was said that when the time for prayer came, Ali would shake and his face would go pale, and he would say, "The time has come to keep the trust that was offered to the heaven and the earth and the mountains, but they declined to bear it, and I undertook to bear it," in reference to the ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab 72. That trust is the responsibility of free will, the responsibility to choose between good and evil. When we die, salah is the first responsibility we will be judged for. If it is sound, then all our deeds after it will be sound. If it is corrupt, then all our deeds after it will be corrupt. The Prophet said, "Whoever abandons it," meaning the prayer, "has disbelieved." It is not only salah's obligatory aspect, however, that should compel us to tend to it. This would be an incomplete intention. Consider this example. People originally used to eat to survive. No longer so in today's world, where people now survive to eat. Eating nowadays has become an art form with colorful varieties to tempt the eye, multiple course meals and desserts afterwards, to savor each and every bite, to gain that pleasure. Such should be the case for salah. Go to it because you love it and because you yearn for the pleasure you find in it. Prepare ahead for it. Just as a nice meal starts with a tasty appetizer before the main course, start your preparation for salah with the sound of the adhan. Wash up again. Even if you are still in wudu, give yourself more light. Start asking yourself, "What am I about to do now?" We need relief from it all. And who possesses this ultimate relief? No one but Allah. And this relief we find in salah. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin." O you have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. Remember what the Prophet would say when he was heavily burdened with a matter and the time for salah came. "Relieve us with it, O Bilal." This is comfort. This true peace and pleasure is attainable not just by the great men and women who came before us, but by anyone who can unlock the secrets of salah as they did. The secrets for reaching these levels of peace, pleasure and relaxation does not only lie in better focus and concentration, but in depth far greater. So, ensure the presence of the heart. Your heart must be in it if you want to feel the effects. This is not at all difficult to achieve. All you need is 10 minutes to focus on the love you hold for Allah. Forget the world for now. There's more than 23 hours for that. Devote these 10 minutes now to Allah and to the peace and pleasure that comes from being with Him. Comprehend the words and actions of salah. When you are aware of what you are saying and doing, then you remain focused. Since Allah ordained salah for us, then it is achievable. Did you know that you are only rewarded for the parts of salah that you are aware of? So if you can be focused through a 2-hour movie or an exam, for sure we can say focus now. Everything in this world worships Allah Azza wa Jal around the clock. Surely we can do 10 minutes. Just seek Allah's help and you will reach a point where you'd wish Salah never ended. Come to Salah with a feeling of hope. Hope is a deeper emotion that must be present when you pray. The more you know about Allah, the more your heart can feel this hope. The hope for His mercy, for His forgiveness, for His acceptance, His love, His closeness. Note that hope is different from wish. Hope is coupled with action, where you work for that what you hope for. So hope for Allah's mercy and ask Him for it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ.
Call upon me and I will answer you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful. Feel Allah's haiba, which means to have a sense of fear and awe paired with deep reverence and veneration that one feels when standing in His hands. An example of a small element of haiba is what is felt towards a parent or one in authority. Haiba is the highest level of fear. Recall the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, there is no salvation from you except through you, and I seek refuge in you from you. There are angels who have been in prostration and bowing since the day they were created and will remain so until the day of judgment, saying, exalted are you, we have not worshipped you as you deserve to be worshipped. With attributes such as the mighty, the compeller, the avenger, the more you know about Allah, the more you know about yourself in comparison to Him, the more haiba you will feel towards Him. Everything is under His supremacy and His total control. Who are we to defy His commands? What is the matter with you that you are not conscious of Allah's majesty? As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the Prophet was describing the haiba Angel Jibreel felt before his Lord on the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. He said, in describing Jibreel, Jibreel like a worn out camel's cloth from the fear of Allah. Enter Salah with great love for Allah, for His beauty, for His kindness in dealing with you, and for His favors and blessings upon you. Feel a shyness and a shame. We commit much wrong, but He continues to be patient with us. And He continues to cover and protect us despite all of our transgressions. The above secrets will help you attain khushu, the feeling of genuine humbleness and submissiveness that must be reached in Salah for you to benefit and succeed in this world and the next, and for you to magnify the reward of your prayer. Do you notice how the flood of thoughts and distractions only comes once you start Salah? It's not present before. It is this very khushu that shaitan always tries to steal away from you in Salah. A thief would not bother stealing from a king's palace because it is well guarded, nor from a poor man's house because it is empty. The house he always aims for is a rich man's house because it has the wealth, but without the guards. That is what you are. You are the rich man, you have the khushu, but you do not have the guards. And so shaitan will keep trying to distract you, to steal away from your prayer's worth. But as you start applying what you've learned from this book, and as you begin to feel that happiness and peace that Salah was prescribed for, you will easily begin to overcome these distractions, and the quality of your Salah will improve significantly. Ask yourself, In which month do you feel you attain the most khushu? It is Ramadan, isn't it? And during which time in Ramadan specifically? It is during the Taraweeh prayer. And in which segment of those prayers in particular? It is during the dua at the end, where everyone raises their hands together and repeats a unified Ameen behind the Imam. That's when the eyes swell with tears and the sobs echo throughout the masjid. Why at that moment do we feel khushu? What is different in this segment of the salah? This is because at this moment, you suddenly feel that you are actually talking to someone. You realize that you are conversing with Allah directly. Therefore, to live these precious moments and achieve the needed khushu, not just once a year, but in each and every salah you perform every day, feel with your total being that you are talking to Him, addressing Him, conversing with Him. Most people think salah is a monologue, and have forgotten that our salah is really a dialogue from beginning to end. Live this dialogue. Feel the other side.
خير من النوم الله.